train. It's a boogie thing.
Oh, it's a boogie thing. Welcome back, folks.
Well, onward to phase two of the Restore America plan. Phase two has been under crafting for some time. And I think the best I can do in the short form that we have is give you an overview and then quite a bit of detail on the manifesto. Phase two consists of a number of general orders, maybe 7, 8, 9 of them, as all of you who signed on are familiar with, and probably most of you listening by this time are familiar with, general orders to the armed forces of the United States. And that includes our own fathers and mothers and sons and daughters and those who are selflessly volunteering to protect us. And then it is followed by a claim and registration of title. Title is a very onerous word one has to be careful of, because deeds are used in this country. Deeds imply ownership, and lawyers think of them as deeds of title. They imply ownership, but they actually identify the liable party. But we've used the term because the actual definition in law of title means ownership, absolute ownership. And so we have a very short page within phase two that establishes the claim of the sovereign people, the claim of the guardians of the free republics and the members of the de jure grand juries collectively to the 50 free American republics and the United States of America, both with a small u and a large u, and further goes on to register the exact geographic borders of the United States of America with a large u, by including by reference a registration of the republic's manifest that is attached and included as part of the phase two presentment. That's a very important step to take to at least protect our people inside the military, because it establishes us as standing on an exact tract of land with exact borders. Now, is it fatal if that wasn't included? No, because they fully understand the United States Federal Corporation is derived from the original United States of America, which did have firm geographic borders, and they fully understand the borders of the country. They just can't access them, since a corporation is not a geographic entity, is it? It's a construct of law, a legal fiction designed to change the venue of law and disguise the fact that the law venue has been changed. So it's not essential, but it's something that I felt should be included to take away any cloud as to who the sovereign people are and where we are standing, even though paragraph one of the declaration that all of you have read handles that very nicely by establishing the Lord's command, giving man the dominion over all the earth. Then the very next document within the presentment is a warrant. It's much more extensive than the previous warrant you may have read, and this one is a warrant for the bonds of a slew of public officials at the federal level. And it also presents a most extensive finding of facts, something that's missing in most of your court judgments. As you know, the judges in this administrative court system, they have no shame. They will simply say, based upon findings of law and fact, I find in the following manner. And of course, the finding is simply to protect the Bar Association entity. It's to protect the court or protect the attorneys you may have threatened. And I'm sorry, I was receiving some interference there, folks. And so the judges very shamelessly, when you ask them, what are those findings of fact and conclusions of law, will simply answer with one little fragment statement, which says, no merit in law, no lawful merit to your motion or your petition. Excuse me, I am getting quite a bit of interference, if my producer can hear. He's telling you that he will not indicate the actual findings of fact and the conclusions of law for good reason, because there are none. There is no law. There are only statutes and codes, and you've taken it out onto the law of the land. And he's got nothing to give you. And he's confessing that. He's also confessing his shamelessness in not disclosing to you the fact that the case has been conducted originally in admiralty and then transferred over to equity statutes. Well, the de jure grand juries don't operate that way. They have a review of the facts. It's extensive. It's 2 pages. And it establishes, as a declared conclusion of the sovereign people, that they have been operating the courts of America under the military law venue, which is identified by the gold fringe naval colors. And under that color of law, they have committed the most heinous and high crimes against mankind. And then after that, the general orders appear, beginning with General Order 8. And with those general orders, we are doing many things, accomplishing many goals, including providing the armed forces of the United States a proper venue from which to operate. Because currently, they're operating outside constitutional law, aren't they? Doesn't the Constitution make provision for a navy and only an army during wartime? And yet we have a large standing army, don't we? How is that possible? Well, while they're debating the Constitution on all of these talk shows the last week, no one bothers to look at the obvious. How do we have it? No one bothers to actually bring out a clause from the Constitution. And they never will, any more than they brought out a clause when they were debating the so-called U.S. Patriot Act. No one ever stepped forward and said, well, doesn't Section 802 say that you're a terrorist, you're a domestic terrorist if you sign a petition or smoke or speed? They'll never bring out the tangible, because if they did, the newscasters would have to admit they've been asleep during their entire tenure in your homes. Well, excuse me. We bring all that to a head in phase 2. We re-inhabit all of the appropriate federal courts. We arrest the bonds of the officers, and we bring the government back to its Republican roots. And I sure don't mean the Republican Party. There are also some arrests of certain courts within there, and some notices that are given as well. And finally, one of the most important elements, and I believe none of this has actually been shared with anyone at this point, so this is probably the world's unveiling. And why don't we call this tonight Notice to the World? This is it, folks. You're getting your notice that the sovereign people intend to and have, by the previous declaration, restored the law of the land, the people's common law. And now that is being manifest in its entirety. Specifics to that restoration are being provided to those who would govern us by our consent in the form of the Manifesto of Rights in Law, Bill of Containment. And what that means, you know, the term bill is very deceptive. It certainly can mean an invoice that you provide to somebody. In some law dictionaries, it's defined as a pre-statute, in other words, a proposed statute prior to passage into what they call law, what we know, of course, to be equity statutes. But if there's one thing we have learned, if history of this country teaches us one thing, that the Constitution from day one provided no protection against anything the founders purported to be protecting us against, did it? Look at the initial Supreme Court rulings. As early as the 1840s, they were declaring martial law in Rhode Island. We know what happened in 1860 with the secession of the South. We know about the United States victory at the Appomattox Courthouse, imposing the will of the Union on all of the states. We know about the imposition of loyalty oaths, the arrests of newspaper editors in the North and South, the The draft, that's an innocuous word. We're drafting someone. You're enslaving someone at gunpoint to pick up a gun and fire on someone else. You are actually enslaving someone to kill someone else. Maybe the goal is good, to protect the nation, purportedly, or protect the money predators more accurately. However, think what you're doing. The Lord says, thou shalt not kill, and you are actually forcing a man to condemn himself into eternal purgatory, to salute false gods, to pray to false gods, to lose his dignity and independence as chattel property. Now, if you make that decision willfully, as many of the courageous people in our armed forces are, that's a different story. But when you draft 66,000 New Yorkers in 1862 or 3, whatever it was, it's no wonder they rioted. Now, those riots were terrible, and they were directed at minorities, unfortunately, instead of as many public officials as it should have been. And there were riots in other parts of the country, and there were drafts of 70, 80,000 in the various states that were on the side of the North, so to speak. And we have seen the Constitution used to create a Federal Reserve Bank owned by individual banks such as the Bank of England, the Bank of France, the Rothschild family, the J.P. Morgan, which is the bank that's owned by the Morgan family, Chase Manhattan, which is the bank that's owned by the Rockefeller family. They print money to put in their own pocket, but they can't just print all they want and slide in their own pocket. So what do? They exchange it for treasury bonds, and when the bonds mature, the money's paid back to them, then they put it in their pocket. Under your constitution, something's rotten in Denmark. So if we've learned one thing, it's that we need to be specific in saying you cannot do A, B, C, and D, and if you do, it is a high crime against mankind, and you will be punished. We need to spell it out. And while the Bill of Rights spelled out the people's rights, it may have had more teeth if the penalties for infractions and violations were spelled out as well. For instance, the Fifth Article of Amendment to the Constitution says, no one or no person shall be compelled to cast witness against himself. Every time a cop stops you on the street and says, where are you heading? Every time a prosecutor in a grand jury says, please state your name for the record, you are being compelled to confess to being a legal fiction subject of the United States that is liable to all of its corporate rules and regulations. And that's under the Constitution. Hence, I'm not kidding when I say after the I'm blanking from 1200. Well, someone will call in with the most important of the historical documents, the predecessor to the Declaration of Independence. And I apologize for my terrible memory sometimes on obvious things, folks. But after the Declaration of Independence and of 1776, and the unanimous declaration of the sovereign people of the United States of America to restore and re-inhabit the free American republics, convened on March 24th of this year, the Manifesto of Rights in Law, Bill of Containment, is the next most important document in history because it stops the most evil of all of history's enemies, the one that has persisted like a plague on these peoples for hundreds of years, at least since the middle to late 1600, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21. That's over 400 years. It all stops right here tonight. Manifesto of Rights in Law, Bill of Containment. It is hereby ordered by the de jure grand juries of the United States of America, and that's with a small u, by the way, for the expressed purpose of restoring the people's law of the land, that never again shall the people be converted into chattel to the state created by their ancestors. Number one, The Judicial Power of the United States of America, circa 1787. The United States. The United States of America with a small u. All derivatives thereof, and of each and all of the free American republics, shall at all times be confined to and non-compliant with Article 3 of the Constitution for the United States of America, circa 1787. That first article should have been completely unnecessary. But since the Constitution hasn't gotten the job done, we will. Number two, excuse me, the aforesaid judicial power, as it relates to United States territories, possessions, and the District of Columbia, pursuant to Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution for the United States of America, circa 1787, shall at all times be wholly compliant with the powers and limitations preserved by the Constitution for the United States of America, circa 1787, as such power is applied in the several state republics, semicolon. What that just said is you can no longer rule the territories outside normal constitutional protections. At all times, those rulings and directives, your governance of the territories, shall be within constitutional limitations. After the semicolon, it says, Downs versus Bidwell, 182 U.S. 244, circa 1901, being hereby repudiated and instantly void, that's a Supreme Court decision we are voiding, as repugnant to the said Constitution and comprising insurrection against the United States insofar as implying that government, through sinister defects of law, is presumed authorized to grievously injure men and women as a happenstance of their birth on a foreign shore. All such actions being inconsistent with American conscience, natural law, and the dignity of mankind. Enslavement in the territories and then brought on the land by our evil politician ends. Back.